It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and like, here are the people on the panel, so I'm like taking pot shots at Brian Braun, because like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you, because no.
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know, I couldn't though. No, I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I've already told Bulldog this, but this is hell. Against my better judgment, I decided to agree to take an online survey, a sports book survey, for a quite small bonus bet reward. Like, all right, I'll just sit here, take this 5-minute survey. I'm like 3 hours into it. I mean, it just never ends. It doesn't even have that little sort of thing on the screen that tells you how far along you are.
Is it obviously you haven't continuously been doing it for 3 hours?
Actually, I have.
We're on the, but like, so during the breaks?
Yeah. I mean, during the last two breaks.
Yeah. Tough one.
And I'm so far in that I just don't want to quit. I got to have this
now,
paltry bonus bet so I can bet the Leafs tonight. And win, pennies.
Yeah, all I need to do when I want some bonus bets is not bet for like 5 days. Oh, okay, thanks.
Bonus bets.
Thank you for everything. I appreciate you.
What are the first three words that come? There was a question if yesterday was Sunday and today is Monday, what's tomorrow? That was literally one of the questions on the survey. Literally.
What?
I mean, I'm taking the ACT or something here. Although that's tougher than this. This is longer than the ACT.
It sounds like it.
I think this is going to end up taking me more time.
I don't like anything about
than the
this.
Mensa test. The Mensa test was faster.
This doesn't sound good at all.
No. What are the first three words that come to mind when you think of Las Vegas? You don't want to know.
Right.
I'm going to end up being penalized instead of getting a bonus bet.
Right.
Here's your bonus bet, but we're actually taking $50 out of your account. So bad. Zach is next. Hello, Zach.
Hey, guys. Two things I want to comment on. The receiver room, and it triggered something in my brain, Mike, with the culture thing. I love the Cooper move, and obviously – that's what they needed. You know, you allowed everybody else to kind of slot down, do their job. You get Kincaid and Khalil Shakir catching the underneath stuff. And obviously that was best-case scenario. Allen finally goes for 300 yards. And I don't think they needed a superstar. And maybe at one point Cooper was, and he's still probably really good. But I think this is what they need now. And this is, they got a really good look at, you know, things the rest of the way. I mean, I hate to look too far forward. I like to enjoy the season, but I think you're eyeing up a, you know, home wild card minimally against an inferior opponent and then, you know, taking your swing from there. I generally, when I do look that far, if I could real quick, is like, I think it comes down to like luck and attrition sometimes. And sometimes, football's so weird and random that, everybody tries to figure that out and be right, but sometimes to me it's just like if one or two things happen, and I just think, you know, could that happen, you know, this year? They've put themselves back in a position to maybe make that happen. And then on the culture thing, you know, I think when you get to the professional world of sports, I'd like to think that like it doesn't matter as much, but I do think it's like a small piece of the pie. And I think the last caller brought up Pittsburgh. I think that's a great example. You know, Tomlin keeps the floor there. I don't know if that's good or bad. You know, some would say they probably should have bottomed out these last couple of years and got a quarterback again. So I don't know. I mean, it is kind of cool watching them last night, never being bad. You know, I'd never know what that's like. But if I could real quick just push, like, you know, where I think the culture matters is McDermott being 6-6 last year, the hip piece hitting, and I don't know if that's culture or leadership. And, you know, I kind of like your opinion on that, Mike, because I generally agree with you with the culture not meaning as much, but, like, would that not be part of it, or is that more leadership, is that I know there's talent, but a lot of teams would have folded in that situation, especially having, you know, something come out about their lack of success and just being slapped in their face like that, you know, in a very vulnerable moment. And he rose to the occasion, and I think it's a testament to the building they've built there. And if you've ever been around them or met them personally, I do think there is this aura. It's a little bit of arrogance, but they've kind of earned it too. So just curious your thoughts on that. Thanks.
We're talking about the Bills?
Yes.
I mean, I don't even know where to start. I respect what they've built. I think there are different styles. I think for the most part, every coach, GM, organization is trying to do the same thing. And I it's just not a fight I'm really that interested in at this point, because there are so many people that will just, you know, I think, tell you how it's the most important thing. And I really just don't think of it that way. I think it's much more transient. I think if Allen couldn't find accuracy, we'd be on three coaches by now from when he was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the second one had the magic beans and had the lucky. And I don't want to fight it, because I don't think it's necessarily disrespectful to management and to McDermott. And I don't feel like it. I don't mean disrespect. I just think, you know, the bottom line is you got to have the talent, and they do in him. And it's, the conversation then extends to, well, what kind of people, you know, are you drafting or are you signing? And I think that's something that the Bills care a lot about. I think that's something that a lot of teams care a lot about. I think in a lot of these situations, it's kind of been studied and isn't really worth the time of day. Meetings, interviews with college prospects and things like that. Because who they are, you might have your own biases. Of course you do, because everybody does. And I think there's a lot of noise and luck. And I am with the caller on how much luck and randomness there is in all of it, in games themselves and in building teams and all that stuff. So I think the Bills do about as good a job as you can do. But I also think that if you don't have Josh Allen and certain other players over the last 7 or 8 years, you're just not in the same situation. You're not in the same level.
You got to have both things. I think that should be, that's, I think, plainly obvious. I don't want to put words in your mouth. To me, that's plainly obvious. The structure, the structure that McDermott and Bean walked in the door with, I think, you know, was beneficial. I mean, they did manage to break a 17-year playoff drought without Josh Allen. So they built something and brought him into it and let him grow within it. And his talent obviously is the most important factor in their status and in the growth and in those guys having the jobs as long as they've had the jobs. That's without question. In pro sports, you're going to have the best of intentions and the best ideas about team bonding and drafting the right kind of people, but if the quarterback isn't any good, you're cooked. And, you know, I don't know, they have a certain style. Like, they liked Allen for a reason. Personality, humility, zero star recruit, all that stuff. And like their idea, their model featured that over a more polished college player like Josh Rosen, who, you know, I think you look at the two guys' college careers, you'd be like, oh, Rosen, you got to take Rosen. They're like, forget that, this kid. And they got paid off. But Allen had to come through for them to make that work. I mean, they get only so much credit for believing in him and his personality and his work ethic and all the stuff. You have to have both things. To me, super talented players with no structure around them whatsoever, or just a total disregard for discipline and just all the things that McDermott is known for, I don't think you're getting there either, no matter how good the guy is, because you got a lot of people to bring all together. And the idea is to bring them together enough that it all just rolls the right way. I'm sure, like, everyone on that team, we should know from the Diggs experience. I mean, what does that say about their culture? Like, there was definitely a problem there. I'm sure everyone on that team is not best friends with every single guy on that team. There are probably personal, issues between guys and whatever, but you just get by it. because the overall is the most important thing, and you just go. So I think you got to have both things. That's it. I mean, it's to me, it's not that complicated. And I've never thought the culture was more important. I did not like at all when McDermott a few years ago somewhat famously said culture over tactics or strategy. Because I think you need all of that. It, like one or the other, to me, should take precedence. There's a time for everything to be the most important thing. And, you know, I think McDermott has had, obviously, his failings in games. I mean, we've all seen it. We've watched it even just recently. And but I still think the overall is been excellent with him at the helm of this thing. And he is Mr. Culture hand clap guy. Like, that's just who he is. It's a, you know, that's just going to be there till he doesn't have the job anymore.
Another, just a small point. Another thing that I think is, it certainly can be misidentified, is there's a certain necessary connection one would usually make to trace a player's discipline or structure to the head coach. And that's just not always going to be the case. I mean, I don't know what Andy Reid's version of this is, but his value, I think, has to be mostly in X's and O's. And there you go. That takes off too. There's different, all kinds of different forms of self-discipline and structure and different ways to look at it. And you want to think, because it makes sense, that winning teams all have it. But I don't know. You know, there are enough people, I don't disagree with what you said at all. Enough people will want to sort of write the story that way, that I just choose not to. And it's not something I want to just, the proverbial hill to die on. It's just, I think, usually, if not most of the time, it's the same thing. You just have to have the players. Marquez Valdes-Scantling signs with New Orleans.
Perfect.
They need help.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yep.
Hope he hits. The Sabres won on Saturday as we turn our attention to them on this Football Monday.
Mm, yes, they did.
Not their best game.
No. But, you know, we got it home. So, yeah.
Dallas tomorrow.
Yeah.
Dallas is good.
Dallas is real, real good. And tomorrow's kind of a wild day in hockey. I didn't know about the staggered times. You filled me in on that. I hadn't looked at the schedule. I just know that I had read. They did this last year. Everybody's playing. So it's like everyone in the league, there's just going to get around the NHL is going to take a while on the pregame show tomorrow.
We should start now.
There will be games going on because they start earlier in the day. And then, like, what, every 15 minutes from, what, 6 p.m. on is what I think you said to me earlier?
Yeah, I think that's right. 6 or 6:15,
yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah.
I don't think it's the only day of the season where they do this either.
Really? Last year, I remember it only happening one time. But I could have missed it another time, I suppose.
The Sabres have at least one game on their schedule that starts at like 6 or 5 or something like that. And I think that's why.
Another one of those days, yeah. Well, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, it's fine. You'll watch them all, I know.
Yeah, no, I won't do that.
Wait, so the Leafs and Lightning play tonight. They play tomorrow too? And that's not unprecedented, obviously, but...
They must. I mean, the way I know it, the way I understand it, everyone is playing tomorrow.
12, 13. That looks right. What, Leafs and the Lightning are the only game tonight.
No, that's not right. I think there's 3 games tonight.
Just one.
Really?
Mm-hmm. In Toronto.
Huh.
Well, the football games.
You know what?
Yeah. That's not what you...
No, this is where I this is sometimes what happens to you if you depend on your betting app to look at tonight's docket. Because I looked, there were 3 games listed. I didn't, you know, when the game is in the smallest possible font on that app for me. And so I just assumed there were 3 games tonight. I didn't even realize that there weren't. That makes sense if everybody's playing tomorrow. They don't want to just pile on teams having to play back-to-backs. But
yes.
So
the Sabres play tomorrow night and then not again until Saturday. Home to the Red Wings Saturday afternoon. That's it for them this week. All right, we'll take a break. It is Football Monday on WGR. That almost always includes Eric Wood, his visits to our show. We chatted with Eric earlier about Amari Cooper's debut, the Bills' excellent performance in the second half to run away from the Titans. That's coming your way next. Mike Schopp and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.